Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at Sunday's blowout win over Cleveland.
Good to see everybody. Really appreciate everybody being here. Good win for us. And this division win, very important. Get going, our first win of the season, regular season football. So that's important. I was pleased with the way the guys played, the way they competed, the way they handled the game, the way the game went, the pace of the game, and the way they persevered throughout the game and then found a way to extend it all at the end. So all that was positive. What questions do you have?
John, I mean, with Lamar now, I mean, he had another day where four touchdown passes, no interceptions. How have you seen him really orchestrate, you know, the entire offense over the past few years now?
Over the past few years?
How has he improved in orchestrating that in the offense, do you feel?
Okay. That wasn't on my sheet as far as a possible question. The past few years, I would say Lamar's been thanks, Chad. Lamar's been great the past few years. Does that answer your question?
No.
I know. I think it's indicative. Your point is really good because he's been, you know, that shows you. I mean, you know, there was a tough game yesterday against a really great defense, you know, and so just this last game, I mean, it was tough sledding, and that wasn't just coming our way in terms of field position or in terms of just, you know, opportunities for plays or things like that. And yet, you know, he kept pressing. He kept making, you know, checks he needed to make. And a couple times there was plays that were, I think, really in trouble, and he bailed them out. You know, and probably three of his big plays were plays that he made something out of absolutely nothing and, you know, made a bad play into a great play with the help of his teammates. So, you know, that was pretty – that's Lamar. I mean, that's the thing about Lamar that is really just makes him another level probably of a player. And yet all the solid stuff, all the basic stuff, the outs on time, you know, the check with me's, all the different things like that are the things that over the last few years, I guess what you're kind of referring to are the things that he's really built into his game as well. So, yeah, it's just Lamar being Lamar.
when you look at the running numbers yesterday, I mean, in addition to them having good players on their defense, did they just scheme to take away Derek? Is that what you saw when you went back at it, or?
Well, they definitely had a bunch of guys at the line of scrimmage, and they were triggering the run right away. You know, when I was coaching with Jim Johnson in Philly way back when, we had a way of playing a 4-3 defense, which is somewhat similar to what Schwartz does in Cleveland. Not exactly the same, but it was called blitz the run. You know, so basically, when you get a run key, you're hitting gaps and running through gaps, and I would say they were quote unquote blitzing the run. It wasn't a blitz call, but it's a blitz reaction to the run. And those guys were coming downhill immediately, and they were all close to the line of scrimmage to start with. So that was the plan for them, make sure that we don't run the ball, the Ravens don't run the ball. We're not going to get beat, you know, by the run. And that's smart, you know, smart football, and they had success with that part of it.
Coach, with Lamar, he said yesterday that he takes an IV, I think, for every game. Was the heat a big factor, you think, for him yesterday in terms of the run game or anything like that? Because it was overly hot, obviously.
No, I don't think that was a factor with the run game part of it. I thought he handled the heat well, you know, so it was okay.
And as far as the hydration thing, I mean, were you aware that he's doing that on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, different guys have the different plans. We just do a great job here. You know, Sarah Snyder does a great job. The trainers and stuff do a great job of monitoring all that. I mean, guys get monitored. You can't believe how much information we have on guys and hydration, nutrition, performance type things. It's great. You know, we have a great staff of people do a great job. And of course, Lamar's kind of an important guy, so he gets a lot of attention with that as well.
John, do you have an update on Kyle Van Noy? And as you mentioned, you're waiting for more today.
Yeah, I really nothing. I can tell you the update probably that I probably want to give Bo just would be that there's nothing season-ending or long-term. You know, everything else is either day-to-day. Something might stretch into a week-to-week, but it's really no advantage in us in sharing that information today for our opponent, so probably stay away from it.
John, with Van Noy leaving early, it was an opportunity for some other guys to play more. Mike Green upped his snap count. What are you seeing from him, not just yesterday, but just in his development, you know, now knowing, you know, whether Van Noy is going to be available?
Well, I think you put Malachi kind of in that category as well, young rookie players. made us another step, you know, in this game. I think he tightened it up a little bit with some of his kind of his angles on his pass rushes and his run defense. Very physical off the edge, both of those, a couple times, a few times. Yet still, you know, like rookies, there's a ways to go. But keep making the same kind of progress every single week, and I'm happy with the way Mike's playing. I mean, he's playing good football for us, and you know, just got to keep growing as a player, as a young player.
Similarly with that Teddy Buchanan, it seems like his snaps continue to improve over the first 2 weeks. What is he doing that's getting him more playing time?
Yeah, that's a great point to put Teddy in that same category with those guys, and he's playing well. You know, he's just playing really, really solid football. You know, he's in the right place, doing the right things, specific things that we were doing in this game. I just thought Teddy played another really good game against things he can work on and get better at, but played a really good game for us.
You anticipate that kind of being the, I know every opponent's different, but anticipate that being the plan going forward, him getting similar reps?
I think we'll just kind of keep going week to week and day to day. I mean, you just never know what direction it's going to go, but you know, when guys play well, they continue to play, and you know, there's nobody not playing well. So, you know, if there's someone that we need to, you know, take out, we would. But that's kind of just how it works.
What did you, speaking of guys playing well, you know, yesterday you obviously downed a guy in the secondary. You had nice play by Tampa there. You had Tylan with some nice plays. Tez Walker, how important is it for those guys to step up when Derrick Henry, you know, is being contained and some of the other guys?
Right. It's a great point. I think, you know, your point is exactly right. You need a whole team. You know, everybody's on the team for a reason because you need them. You know, you want guys on your team to contribute, you know, and when guys, man, they want guys. Everybody wants to contribute. Everybody wants their opportunity. They want their shot, and it really doesn't matter where you are. You know, you're on the roster. If you're the star player, Lamar wants to contribute and make plays. And if you're a guy that's fighting for that playing time, you want to contribute and make plays. If you get out there on a punt rush, you want to go block a punt if you can. You get your shot at wide receiver, you want to go catch a pass or a touchdown pass, you know, when you can. Guys want to win first and foremost, but they also want to contribute just as much, you know, and because that's what they work hard for. So, yes, it's very important to build that into your team, you know, from the inside out, where everybody feels like and knows it when they go out there that they know the standard, the expectation is just as high for them as it is for everybody, and we're putting them out there because we're planning on them. We're expecting them to make those plays.
But with Pat McCord, it seemed like thought he might have been ready for that season over. Did he have a setback before?
Yeah, season? it's hard to put a term on it like that. And I think it's a good fair question because you know I'm not sure you know what you want to call it, but it hasn't been as quick as we thought. You know, it just hasn't been. I mean, there's no way around it. I'm disappointed, but Pat's more disappointed than anybody that hasn't gotten there faster than as what was expected when he first did it. So, yeah, it's been slower than we hoped, that's for sure. And we're kind of in that, I'd say, probably week-to-week mode with Pat right now.
And just to clarify, the update you gave on Bednarik, does that apply to Merlin as well?
What part of it?
That you don't want to get into specifics.
Yes.
But
the answer is yes. Thank you for asking it like that.
Week-to-week is what you said about that.
I'm just staying away from it right now because I just don't want to let you guys bleed that information out of me. I'm doing my best here not to. You're pulling my fingernails out. You're trying to get me to share some information that I don't want to give you. It's not that I want to give it to you or the fans. I don't want to give it to the Lions. That's the main thing right now.
If a guy has to miss.
If a guy hypothetically happened to be one of these guys we're talking about.
If someone, say Kyle, would have to miss time, do you feel confident with the group you have, even if it ended up being sort of longer than maybe expected?
Absolutely. I mean, it kind of goes to the last question that you asked, and I would absolutely. The expectations would be for that to be the exact same, you know. And let's go. Yeah, 100% true.
John.
John, how close did you come to challenging the end zone play with Andrews where the ball's knocked out? I mean, I saw one
so close.
And, you know, not just that, but when you decide not to challenge a play like that, you look. Do you send that into the league to try to get clarification, just for like information gathering?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That was a hard don't challenge from my guys upstairs, because they had a long time to look at that, and they're not going to change what they looked at it and they made their decision already from upstairs, you know, in New York. So that wasn't going to get overturned. There was no third act even in the end zone. There was nothing. There's no football act at all, and the ball got knocked out. So that's what was explained to me at the time, that we were going to lose the challenge if we did it. Now, if we call in and we find out that, because I'll be honest with you, Luke, it hasn't been 100% consistent, maybe. You know, sometimes they look the same to us, and you try to get a gauge on what's going to get overturned and what's not going to get overturned, and then you get surprised. So I'm not saying that's not possible, but it looked like at the time, and I think it's probably going to be confirmed, that we'd have lost the challenge and lost the timeout. So, you know, if you're going to lose the challenge, and you don't want to make the challenge. So that was it. It's the same thing on the one with Hop, you know, to see the knee down. You know, did he have control when the knee was down? Hop said he didn't. He didn't get control until he was in the end zone, you know. So that was Hop's argument, and I don't know. But they looked at that for a long time before they overturned it. So when they overturned it, they're telling you that's their decision. So that was what happened on those two. And I'm sure that, you know, the guys upstairs who were helping me had it right, and, you know, I can see the point. But, yes, if we get something back that says otherwise, I'll be happy to share it with you.
Has replay assist changed your approach on challenges at all?
Has what?
Has replay assist from the booth, does that change your philosophy or approach when it comes to challenging?
That's a great point, Gary. Yeah, I would say it probably has, in a sense that they basically are going to do most of that already. You know, I don't think they want that red flag out as much. I don't think they care about, but they'd rather get it right and replay assist than take it to a challenge. So if they have time to look at those, they're going to probably look at them and put it where they want it.
John, you know, we saw Lamar look for Mark a lot, look for Charlie Kohler a lot during training camp. So far, just four total targets for those two guys. Obviously, hasn't really been a detriment to the passing game, but what do you make of the relative lack of activity from tight ends in terms of the target share? So
I make of it, you know, just football probably. It's going to happen. Those guys are going to catch a lot of passes. I expect those guys to be a big part of what we're doing. You know, if we start going 4 or 5 weeks and, you know, you don't see the tight ends getting targets, I'd probably be asking Monk, you know, and Lamar and the guys, what do you think, you know? But the ball goes where it goes based on the reads. You know, that's where the ball goes, based on Lamar's reads, and that's what quarterbacks do. So those guys know that, you know, and they're fighting to run good routes and just trying to make the plays that come to them.
John, the catches that we've seen DeAndre make with guys just all over him, yeah. Why do you think he's so good at that? you were a defensive backs coach. Like, what would you even tell a guy who was covering him?
It's funny, because I was watching the tape this morning very early, and I just thought that young corner was covering DeAndre as well as he could. I mean, he couldn't cover him any better, you know. And yet Lamar puts the ball in a great spot, and DeAndre makes a great catch. You know, why is he as good as he is? That's a question for the Lord, you know, because he gave him that talent, and he's just great at making plays.
John, with DeAndre, is less kind of more when it comes to his snap count to this point? He doesn't play a lot, but he's obviously made impact plays in those short times. Do you foresee him getting more playing time, or is this kind of what you want it to look like?
I think we'll see as we go. You know, I think some games, you know, might be one way or another, but we have a lot of guys that can play and do different things, so it's not a bad thing to do it that way, you know. And but I'm sure that, you know, every player wants to be on the field as much as they can, so the more DeAndre's on the field, I'm happy about that. But if we don't have to have him out there too much doing things that aren't like kind of difference-making things too, that kind of makes sense as well. And then you've got guys that can go out there and make plays. Like, you put Tez out there and he does some things and he changes it up on the defense. That's a nice thing too. And Tylan the same way. Of course, you already got Bate and Zay. You know, they're going to play a lot of snaps. And you want to get the ball to the tight ends. That was just brought up. You know, when are the tight ends going to get those chances? So those are all the things that, like, we're kind of grappling with and trying to put together the offense for every week. And Todd and T and the offensive coaches all do a great job of that. So that's kind of a blessing, you know, but it's also a dilemma, and we're working through it. But hopefully it's a kind of dilemma that puts a lot of points on the board. That's what we're hoping for.
Jair, yesterday you said you wanted to focus on getting him in football shape.
Jair, can you say it again, please?
With Jair, you said yesterday you want to focus on getting him in football shape. What do you need to see to determine that he's ready to go back out there and play?
Yeah, it's such a great question. I wish it was really black and white, but I think he'll be out there soon. You know, it could be as early as this week. But it's going to be when he feels and you can see that he's right, you know, to go out there and just play like a top-level Jair. I don't want to put him in a situation where he's got to try to overcome not quite being, right as he can be, especially if we've got guys that can play well, you know. So that's just kind of like almost a great problem to have, that you don't have to force a player out there, you know, when he's kind of – you know, he's a tough injury he had last year, and he's been rehabbing that thing in the off season, rehabbing it now through training camp. He ended up rehabbing it for about 3-4 weeks in training camp with no practice. So that was probably the toughest part of it. If he'd been able to, you know, practice there, maybe that would have helped. But it wasn't quite there yet. It's good now, though, and I don't know. We'll just see in the practice. He and I will talk about it, and we'll get him out there just as soon as we can. But I think it's going to be real soon. It'll be much sooner rather than later, you know. And I can't wait till he's out there, and maybe it'll be this week.
So it's a collaborative situation. I mean, it's collaborative, you and him.
Yes, me and him, and the performance stuff. You see the numbers, you know, with the performance numbers and all those kind of things that we do, and that's it.
Kickoffs, trying to land the ball between the 20 and the goal line. It's kind of the difference between the 40 and the 35, almost. Is worth the risk of trying to be that precise with it?
Well, okay, so if you want to talk, like the challenges right now with field position are really becoming interesting with this kickoff, because the field position now is a problem when you kick off, because it's potentially puts you backed up. There's more backed up right now than I think there's more backed up now than there has been. You saw us backed up 3 times in the first half. So when an offense takes possession of the ball, you know, it's going to be at least the 30, it seems like, you know. I mean, you got to do something to get them at the 25 or the 23 or the 24, to get them somewhat in a normal field position spot. Even when you kick them the ball, like if the ball's up in the air and they get a running start, they can punch the ball to the 30 pretty normally, right? So now you try to get the ball on the ground. You try to put them in the corner. You try to get them moving to catch it or to make it bounce so you can get a start. To not put yourself in a situation where one first down and they're punting the ball back down to the 10-yard line. And that's really what's happening. So every time now, if you think about this, the more you score and the more you kick off, the more likely you are to be backed up on your next offensive possession. So teams are experimenting with, well, what can they do to push the kickoff return back with their kickoff team. And so you're seeing the ball come up short or come up out of bounds. And that's, we just got to decide whether we want to risk that or not. But I don't really want Tyler kicking the ball out of bounds, and he knows that. And that's for sure shouldn't happen in my mind. The drive kick that comes up short, that's tougher, you know, because that can happen. The ball's shaped funny, but you know, we don't love that either. We still want to have a chance to cover the kick.
Do you think it's been good for the game with all the variation we're seeing, as opposed to 12 touchbacks a game?
I think it's better than 12 touchbacks a game. If that's the question, is this better than 12 touchbacks a game? Yes.
John, Trent Simpson, could you get a look on him on the outside? I know he's done that before, and he did that in college. And if you have injury woes or you're missing something outside, could he be a solution there too?
When you say outside, like what position are you talking
outside
about?
Outside linebacker.
He could play Sam. Yeah, he could play Sam. Could he play defensive end? You know, when those guys, you know, you're talking about, like, it's just nuance, because Kyle Van Noy plays Sam in the base defense, but he also plays defensive end in the sub defense. You know, he's not playing off the ball in the sub defense. Could Trent play defensive end in the edge? Probably not right now. You know, it's not something that body type wise we'd be looking at doing at this time. But he can play Sam, sure, in the base.
Thank you.
John, special teams guy, right? How does your team find Jake Hummel? Like, how does he end up here? And the strengths that a guy like that, knowing that role, brings to this team?
Yeah, just a veteran special teams guy that knows how to play the game, has proven it at a high level. That's really valuable. And obviously, you saw what he did. He's made other plays you maybe fans haven't seen as far as coverage and things like that. But, man, that block punt was big. The block punt, the punt return, and then the two defensive plays that set up scores. You're talking about 24 points that got set up by special teams and defense. You have to look and say that's probably the difference in the game, right? And then he was kind of the guy that kind of got that jump started. So how do we find him? You know, our scouts and Chris Horton, you know, looking in free agency. And he became available, and they studied him, and they loved him. And Chris showed him to me, and I'm like, man, this guy, what kind of guy is he? You know, could he help us? Is he a good guy? Does he work hard? And, you know, would he fit? And we were able to get him here. I'm glad he's here. You know, I'm really grateful that he's on our team.
John, how pleased have you been with the downfield passing game, especially with teams trying to kind of load up the box a little bit? It seems like you guys have been able to push the ball down.
Yeah, the chunk throws have been good. You know, we had six explosive passes, which was good, solid. We've had more, but it probably fit 60 percentile or something like that in the NFL in a game. But that's been big. You know, we're hitting a lot of, you know, people are playing man against us, and we've taken advantage of that. You know, you saw Zay have a bunch of plays in this last game, also hot. But Bate came up early in the game, made some plays for us, and got us going. So, yeah, the chunk passing game has been good. You know, people load the box up. You hope that's what happens.
John, there's been a lot of long field goals this year, a number of them from 55. Beyond, obviously Tyler's got plenty of leg. Just curious, why do you think there's been so many, long kicks being made? Is it just as simple as the ball and the kickers being better? And secondly, what would you feel sort of comfortable with Tyler?
Yeah, well, second, first, Tyler, we would try those. You know, we're not opposed to 50 plus yard kicks.
You go to 65, 70.
Well, I mean, are you going to do that in the regular course of the game? You know, the odds go down a lot. You know, you want to kick a 70 yard field goal in the middle of the first quarter, or would you rather punt? You know, so that's probably I'm punting there, or going for it maybe if it's real short, but. As it gets to be more of a meaningful like number, as you get later in the game where you need the points, you could put them back there. Why is it happening? Yeah, the kickers deserve a lot of credit. Snappers and holders are just as important. And then, maybe not just as important, but they're real close. They all work together. But the balls are different too. You know, they're not kicking the balls out of the box as much anymore. You know, they're kicking balls that they tweak the rule on that. Which is probably more fair for those guys, so you're probably seeing what they're really more capable of doing. With a football, it's a little more like the quarterback just get a chance to throw.
Yeah, no. Did anyone get on Uze for his open field tackle on Nate Wiggins on the sideline on the celebration?
Oh, I didn't see that. What happened?
Calling for a trainer. Kyle, I think, was calling for a trainer. I think they thought he got hurt on the play.
After the interception,
on the sideline. Oh, on the sideline over there? I don't think that was a real thing there. Are you serious or are you joking?
No, I was wondering if it was actually addressed with him because.
It looked like when he got up and walked across the field, it looked like Nate was limping a little bit.
Yeah.
No, he was fine. He was fine.
Coach, right before the game yesterday, I don't know if you heard this report comes out that. Shador Sanders said he didn't want to go to the Ravens because he didn't want to have to back up Lamar Jackson. Did you guys have any legitimate interest in him, or is,
we can't? You're asking me.
We can't ask Eric, so let me answer.
That's a good way to frame it. But like, so you think that I'm going to answer draft question process questions? Yeah, I was in the room. But we have a policy here that we don't talk about the draft room decision making process. So. I'm not going to be able to answer that for you. As much as I may like to or may not want to, I'm not going to be able to answer that for you.
Okay, I think we can end it on that.
Thanks for asking, though.